You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Can you guys hear that? Do you guys hear it?
Hear what?
Am I the only one hearing that? Is it the equipment? Is it the...
There might be a slight hum that comes from the...
No, but it's louder than a slight hum. It's... Oh, yeah, that's what it is. It's still echoing. The booing from the Celtics game. I heard booing. The Miami fans are bad. The Miami fans are bad. But I heard... I mean, Miami was down by a million points in game two. I didn't hear booing in their arena. Everybody's just going to skip past. They were booing their own people. We're going to skip past that one.
There should be more booing, I think, at the American Airlines Arena. Wow. You know what I mean?
The FTX.
Yeah. I can tell you who they were not booing is Al Horford. That much I can tell you. Because there's no reason to boo Al Horford. He can't do everything by himself, Dan. It's impossible for Al Horford. He needs some help. Jaylen Brown gave him some help. Jason Tatum did not. And I promise you, they were not booing Al Horford. So
we have a bit of a skeletal situation here in that Jessica and Stugatz are on remote. Amin will be here shortly because we've got some sickness around here. We will not be going live on YouTube today. And Mike Ryan is not here, which I'm surprised by. I thought he would parachute in from wherever it is that he was to talk about one of the grittiest games ever played by the Miami Heat.
Mike is down with the sickness, and we're also in here down with the sickness. Oh, God. He's at a rock concert. Right. You.
I'm surprised that Mike didn't figure out a way to get in here. So let's talk about some of the things from this Celtics Heat series, because you got some of these numbers, 19 steals in a playoff game. Like, it's hard. It is hard numerically to do what it is the Heat did on Saturday night, because Boston was more efficient shooting from two and three. They out rebounded the Heat by 10. They doubled them up on free throws. And the disparity was much larger than that before the end, before there were just a bunch of free throws taken at the end. But the reason they won that game is, I mean, Bam Adebayo was great. They made two ridiculous shots. Everyone's talking about the Bam shot, which the Celtics would have him take 100 times out of 100. But the Strus shot, when Jaylen Brown got to about 40 points and was doing it from half court, Strus coming down and even being willing to take that shot is why he's in the game. It's why he starts for the Miami Heat, because that was crazy that he put that shot up. It felt like everything was leaking away. Those were two bad shots the Heat got, but they made both of them, and they end up winning the game. And now the questions start for Tatum, Stugatz, because 3-for-14, and you see what P.J. Tucker, you saw this number from StatMuse, P.J. Tucker has guarded Tatum for 127 possessions in this series. Tatum has scored 15 points on those 127 possessions. I would not want to be guarded by P.J. Tucker. It seems horribly annoying, and he seems uncommonly strong.
But he's 37.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's unbelievable how good he's been on defense.
Yeah, but he gets up in you, Whittingham. I mean, that's the deal.
Hubba hubba.
Thank you, Stugatz. Good analysis. Put it on the poll, Billy. Does P.J. Tucker get up in you?
E.J. Brown did, too.
Yes, P.J. Brown also did. Do all the P.J.s. Yes, put this on the poll. Do all the P.J.s. Get up in you. The Celtics, this is one of the most pathetic things I've seen in my lifetime, are talking a lot about winning 10 of 12 quarters.
Yeah, I mean, this has become the story of this series. It's 2-1 and the Heat have won two quarters. I mean, that is a fairly remarkable statistical fact.
It's never happened before that a team is up 2-1 when they lose 10 of the 12 quarters in a series.
But exactly. Think about how apocalyptic those two quarters were, though. Those are staggering. I mean, the first quarter of game three allows you to lose Jimmy Butler, fade down the stretch of the game, and still win because you had built up enough of a lead that all you need is a true shot and a bam shot to survive. They built themselves enough of a margin to get over the line.
I thought they were going to lose that game once they announced Jimmy Butler was out, and I thought they were going to lose that game every single moment until they didn't.
It felt like if the Celtics had two more minutes, the Heat would have lost that game. So there were so many big plays and so many big moments in that game, Dan. You talked about, you know, the big shot by Max Strus, also the defense by Strus. He's a phenomenal defensive player. The steal by Kyle Lowry, and I thought Lowry being back in the lineup really, really helped out the Heat, especially with Tyler Hero injured. But with Jason Tatum, I have every expectation that Jason Tatum's going to have a monster game four. I just do. Every time he's had a bad game in the postseason, he's bounced back with not a good game, a great game. So I would suspect, now, I don't know if you get that from Jaylen Brown again. I know what you'll get from Al Horford every night. But with Jason Tatum, I fully expect him to bounce back in a big way.
Well, let me go through this for a second with Jason Tatum, because you can expect him to bounce back. But 3-for-14 for 10 points is an alarming no-show. 3-for-14, he was irrelevant in that basketball game. At no point was anybody threatened by Jason Tatum, the alleged best player on the court for anybody. 3-for-14 for 10 points, he looked like Bam did in the first two games, where you're like, where is this guy? You correct me if I'm wrong about this, Stugatz, because I don't know how many All-Star games Jaylen Brown has made. But in this series, if both teams are healthy, one of the teams has two All-Stars, and one of them has one. Because Jaylen Brown can put up his 40. I don't think of Jaylen Brown as a 40-point guy. I believe that the aberrations in this series, Bam being what he was in the first two games, is among the biggest aberrations. He's an all-star. Like, he's not somebody who floats around out there getting five or six shots in a game. When you look at the best three players on the court, the Heat are supposed to have two of them, correct?
Yeah, I would say that's fair. Jaylen Brown has made one all-star game since he's been in the NBA. You're saying the Heat should have two of the three best players at all time if all guys are healthy. Is that what you're saying? And Jimmy and Bam?
I'm
yeah, you're probably right about that.
Bam and Jimmy Butler are the all-stars. Jaylen Brown, you could say he made one all-star game, but Oladipo made two all-star games. I don't think Jaylen Brown is an all-star. I think of him.
No, Jaylen Brown's of that quality, I think. I think he is a really strong running mate for the Boston Celtics.
I'm not saying he's a very good player. I'm just saying he hasn't made all-star games.
Whitty, if you were choosing sides, he would be the fourth guy you would choose, I think, right? You would choose Tatum. You would choose Butler, you would choose Bam, and then you would choose Jaylen Brown.
But let's analyze what it is that happened Saturday, Stugatz, because, again, the 19 steals is an absurdity. Oladipo going 4 steals and 8 deflections in 20 minutes is an absurdity. Brown and Tatum have never played a basketball game together where they have 13 turnovers. It's never happened before where they're that sloppy with the basketball. Their defense is great. You allow 19 steals, it becomes decidedly less great because you can't go and get in position or anything else, so they allow their worst quarter of the season. The Boston Celtics, over the second half of the season, the Boston Celtics were totally overwhelming. Every time I looked up, they had 70 at the half, and they were up 20 points. They did it to Memphis, and they did it at Golden State. They did it earlier in this series, and Bill Simmons called it their best half of basketball of the season in game two, where they swamped the Heat. But 13 turnovers for Tatum and Brown on 19 steals, and Amin Elhassan and Zach Harper and Tom Haberstroh have been killing Victor Oladipo. They've been saying, and I've deferred to them, Stugatz, because they're seeing things I don't see. When I'm watching on the court, I'm trusting that Eric Spoelstra is playing the players he needs to be playing, and I'm also seeing slashing and something that looks like the remnants of Oladipo, and I'm assuming good defense from him. But he had not shown that until in 20 minutes in a stat line that wouldn't reflect it, by the way, Stugat.
I know.
Do you know how hard it is in an NBA basketball game at the playoff level to get 4 steals and 8 deflections in 20 minutes? Like, that's a ravenous feeding that the Miami Heat were doing on defense. And it just opened everything up for them and allowed them to, you know, hold on at the very end for dear life.
All you had to do was watch the game. The stat line's not going to tell the story. If you just watched that game, you would realize Oladipo's impact on that game. He was as big as anyone in the second half for the Heat, especially with Jimmy Butler out. He was forcing the action, and the offense wasn't there. And they kind of needed the offense. Oladipo didn't have that going. But that defense, Dan, that is defense unlike any we've seen from Victor Oladipo since he's been back in the rotation for the Heat. Like, he was really instrumental in helping the Heat win that game, a game you thought, hey, if they have 30 more seconds, the Celtics are going to get the win. But Oladipo was great in that game. They needed him, and he delivered.
The Heat had just enough counterpunching in the second half to survive Boston's comeback effort. Victor Oladipo was a big part of that. But I think it's an overall team defense, because I said that the Heat have the best defense remaining in the playoffs. Mike Schur has made fun of me in our group chat several times, because at times Boston has gotten off some really good offensive halves and some incredible defensive performances as well. But that's why, is they're basically luring Jaylen Brown into dribbling all season long. The conversation about Boston is, are Tatum and Jaylen Brown good at dribbling? Boston fans have been talking about this all season. They lure him into driving, and then they take the ball from him. Well, he also scores 40, but they take the ball from Boston.
Scores 40 efficiently, but again, the 13 turnovers between them are big. Like, I've been corrected a number of different times over the years, Stugatz, by assistant coaches whenever I fall in love with a point total, and they're like, yeah, but the 7 turnovers, the 8 turnovers. Like, there's an overall math there that ends up diluting. They'll allow Jaylen Brown to get his 40 if Tatum is going to be what I'm... Stugatz, Tatum had as many field goals in the second half as Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
Jimmy Butler didn't play. Tatum was outplayed by Max Strus.
And Stugatz, like, that's your boy. Like, Jason Tatum is your guy, and he's had a few of these in this postseason where...
But he's always bounced back.
I know, but Stu, you're the guy that's... Always, I know, but Stu, you're always the guy that's do it again, do it more often. And that's right. The measure of superstardom. Like, Luka, even when they lose... He does it every night for Dallas. Every single night for Dallas in this postseason, he has turned in a brilliant performance. The superstars in these playoffs have done it every single night, and Tatum just has these nights where, I don't know if he's tired of carrying the burden of being the number one. It, you know, it takes some getting used to, but Tatum has not been up for it every night.
He hasn't, but I suspect he will in game 4 with Luka. Listen, last night was an empty 40 points. I don't care. And when he scores 40, they are 2-6 in those games. I will say this about the Celtics. Dan, they should not be allowed to go back to the locker room. If they get hurt, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, those guys get hurt, and they have to go back to the locker room to get Lord knows what put into their system, they should not be allowed back on the court. It's absurd. The Celtics had 2 Willis Reed-type moments within the same game. Another bunch of fakers. Neither of them was hurt, especially Jason Tatum, who comes back 3 minutes later, and he's right that same shoulder. He's running through screens. The Celtics, and just the Celtics, okay? And this stems back to Paul Pierce, should not be allowed to go to the locker room and then come back on the court. You go to the locker room and you're a Celtic, you stay in the locker room. How about that?
Guillermo, put it on the poll at Lebatard Show. Should a Celtic be allowed to go back into the locker room and then come back out on the court? And also put on the poll at Lebatard Show, can you lose the game when you have 2 Willis Reed moments? Because that's early. That is right. They broke out all the Celtics were breaking out all the scared stuff. When in game 3, you're breaking out 2 Willis Reed moments. What is it that you're going to do in game 7 for desperation? Did you guys experience, because It is clear to me, and I don't know that I've felt this before, it is clear to me, watching the televised analysis of this Miami Heat team, that these announcers have not been watching this Miami Heat basketball team, like, at all. It's not just that a sideline reporter pronounces it Spoelstra. And it's not just that Stephen A. Smith was calling him Struss. He was calling him Struss at halftime. Jalen Rose can't pronounce Adebayo's name. They don't know anything about this team, so that when Gabe Vincent is good, they're all like, well, how's he good? And it just, I have not seen a team get this deep in where the national people don't have any idea what this team is and continue to doubt this team in a way. Stugatz, the halftime coverage, this so rarely happens to me. I'm watching Stephen A. Smith and Mike Greenberg and Mike Wilbon and Jalen Rose at halftime. And all they're talking about is the energy, and Tatum hits a three at the end. I'm like, they're down 15 at home. How can you spend this entire half talking about how great the Celtics are? And the reason is because Stephen A. Smith is saying before the game that he changed his pick. Now he's got the Celtics in the finals because they look so impressive in game two, and he believes that they can win the championship. And then the focus, I really do feel, and it's probably true, it's probably right, the Celtics are better to have in the finals. I think the Celtics are what people are rooting for. They do not want the Miami Heat in the finals. Am I being homerific when I say that? Because the coverage seems like it's soaked in it, and I'm noticing it only because it's not something that I've ever noticed this overtly before. The Miami Heat played an overwhelming first half of basketball, and the whole halftime analysis on ESPN, the whole thing was about the Celtics. It was nothing but, oh, the last 2 minutes, there was so much energy in the building. And it seemed like they were almost hopeful that the Celtics would get back in the game.
In fairness to Greeny and the guys, it did feel like it was slipping away when Tatum hit that three. I mean, it kind of did. I gotta be honest.
Stugatz, 15 points at the half. Your analysis needs to be about the team that's up 15 points at the half.
Yeah, but Dad, 2 minutes before, they were up 25. So, I mean, and they went on a 10-0 run. So.
Stugatz, on the road, up 15 at the half. I mean, I don't know what you're arguing for here. Like, the Miami Heat were up 15 at the half, and the Celtics played a shit half of basketball and played 2 good minutes.
But I have a question, because this series, just from afar, seems like it's like there's a lot of LDE all around this series on both sides. You know what I mean? The opposite of BDE. There's a lot of LDE going on here, where people are upset about what the commentators are saying and who they're covering. And then there's a big fight over the two-quarter situation, which isn't actually 2-10 because there's 3 quarters that were tied. But it's kind of like, is it sadder for the team that's upset that they've only lost 2 quarters and are down 2-1? Or is it sadder for the team that's bragging about the fact that they've only won 2 quarters and are up 2-1 and they're upset about the fact that the other team's complaining about the 2 quarters? Like, who cares? It's 2-1. What LDE? Difference does it make? Yeah, LDE. You don't know?
No.
Little dick energy.
Oh. I love it.
Duh.
Like, it's kind of like, why are we so upset about what's going on here? Who cares what Stephen A. and Jalen Rose says? I mean, I know that's not, now that we're not at ESPN, we can say it.
Oh,
what difference does it make what they say? You know what I mean? When we're there, we're like, yeah, what they say is the most important thing in the world. He gets paid $10 million a year. Like, he really knows everything. They don't know anything. They're just there to kind of fill some time while, you know, Red Panda's on the court throwing some, you know, like bowls on her head or whatever.
One of the things that you're not understanding here is that I believe that what Heat fans miss most about that 2010 and 2000 through 2014 LeBron Wade Bosch team is the ability to go run somewhere and attack someone because they said something.
But I don't even understand it. Like, there's this, like, yearning for being hated, and that doesn't exist. But you want to be hated and think that the world is against us, right? And then when you're there, you're like, the world hates us. We hate them back. And it's like, do you just want to be upset? Like, you want to be upset because people don't hate you, and then you want to be upset when they do hate you?
I miss being upset.
It did feel like that on Twitter, to Billy's point. It felt like, I get it. Maybe they haven't watched Gabe Vincent enough, but it's like, relax. It's not that, like, I just felt like it's too woe is me. Like, but why are you like now?
I like a good Gabe Vincent on a team, right? That nobody knows who this person is. This person isn't actually as valuable as you think they are to your team. You know, here's an example, okay? And this will get me in trouble. David Ross, not a good baseball player, okay? I'm just going to say that. He won a World Series with the Red Sox. He won a World Series with the Cubs. And he's like this god in Chicago, like David
His
Ross, Grandpa.
That was a home run in the World Series, Billy.
I forgot.
Now she was
on vacation.
Loves
she
him.
Wasn't even here
I
before.
I forgot. Grandpa Ross. Enough with Grandpa Rossi, okay?
Grandpa Rossi. He follows me on Twitter. Shout out Grandpa Rossi.
What? But enough with him, okay? And by the way, that Cubs World
enough
Series.
Enough with you, Billy.
Aided
I agreed with you until you brought
delay.
David Ross into this.
They could have played
through
that rain.
What the hell did David Ross do to you? He wasn't on the team that played
David
the Marlins.
David Ross did come out of left field. No pun intended.
I'm just saying, like, David
he
Ross.
He was a catcher.
I believe your pun was intended.
Yeah.
and it was a terrible pun.
Did you
pun.
Know? Did you think he was not a catcher?
I knew he was a catcher. Should I have said he came
it
from
It wasn't
home
a pun.
I'm confused. But my point is this. David Ross was like this player Ross? That's not that great that like the fans love, but it's just like, eh. Like Gabe Vincent, right? You can have one of those. Every team has one of those.
I mean,
it's Pritchard.
I'm a Heat fan. I see both sides on the Gabe Vincent thing. You haven't watched him all year, but I'm also surprised how good he is.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I'm surprised by the whole team. Even still, they're 6 wins away from a championship, and I'm still surprised by the whole damn thing. How is this happening?
But that's kind of like what the coverage is like. What is going on here?
But I think they're eschewing even asking that question and just getting straight to, well, let's talk about the opposition because I haven't a clue.
During the Big Three era, remember the Pacers? Me neither. We're them now.
Wow.
We're the Pacers.
But when did we ignore that? That really is the source of the emotional damage here.
It's too
the emotional damage is you don't care about me. Care about me. I want you to care.
It is absolutely twofold on this. And you're right, Whittingham, because indifference, it's not even hatred, it's indifference, which is worse. Heat fans long for the hatred. The hatred. They were born in this fire. Like a lot of these fans, 2010 through 2014, became bigger fans of sports because as soon as those guys were on that stage, it became us against them. And every day somebody was talking about them. And so a lot of the fandom around this team sort of starts there. And when you start there, you crave it. You long for it. And it's absent because the Miami Heat are probably the least interesting of the four teams from a star power perspective, and it's clear that the analysts and it is disrespectful,
but
Billy.
What are we confused about though? We just said that's why we're the least covered team. That's why we're the team. No, like we're explaining.
But don't you then create stardom off the back of winning playoff games?
Yeah. You already just say do your job from the corner, like for the media. Your job.
They've already won 10 playoff games. I think the Timberwolves probably haven't won 10 playoff games in 10 years.
They've won since 2004. I think that the two games the Timberwolves won this year in the playoffs represent twice as much as playoff games they've won.
So they've won 10 playoff games. Yeah. And after every game we go, "Huh, that Max Drew shot, huh? Wow, that PJ Tucker defensive performance. Wow, this. Wow, that." And it's a bunch of events that happen, but they don't appear to be tied together behind anything other than the Heat are just good at this. Yeah. Creating players, creating defensive schemes, out-coaching their opponents. Because it's always names on a sheet going into the series, you go, well, Boston's better. I still think that Boston, from a talent perspective, have better players, but the Heat have a very good chance to win this series. They might get smoked tonight. It appears to be in these playoffs. If you lose, you get smoked. If you win, you blow out your opponent. That's how these playoffs have gone. But the Heat have a real chance to beat Boston, who everyone said was probably the perennial favorite in the East. The Heat were fourth favorites entering the playoffs as a one seed to win the championship, and yet they're 6 wins away from it.
Boston was a big betting favorite in this series, Stugatz, but let's talk for a second, and this isn't to bury your face in it, because I too expect the Celtics to win and Tatum to be great tonight, but I do think it's possible as well, Stugatz, that the Heat defense can make Tatum on occasion look like they made Trae Young and James Harden look. That the defense can make over the course of a 7-game series, it can turn to people criticizing Tatum again and again because he has underachieving games because it keeps getting harder and this is the toughest defense that he's faced in the playoffs. But when you say he'll bounce back, which is a prediction I think most people would make today, why are you skipping past how awful he was in the last game? Because you need your stars. You need your stars late in that game to do something. If Jimmy Butler's not on the court, Stugatz, and the Miami Heat's defense isn't supposed to be what it usually is, Jason Tatum's got to go in there and win that game for you. He's your star.
He does, and I'm not skipping past that, Dan, but the series is not over. Believe me, I'll have a little something for Jason Tatum if the Celtics end up not winning this series.
But Stugatz, in a game the Celtics needed, when the Heat's biggest star was out for the second half, Jason Tatum, superstar, gave you zero baskets. Not one, not four, zero. Like that, I mean, I don't know where your standard is, but get out of here, Stugatz. Like, you can't just skip past zero baskets when at the end of the game they could have used a basket.
I'm not skipping past it. Again, if they lose this series and Jason Tatum continues to play this poorly, I will have a little something for Jason Tatum at the end of the series. But Dan, I'm not skipping past it. Like, I'm telling you right now, I am not skipping past it. Yes, that was the game they had to have, the biggest game of the series until tonight's game, because tonight's game is the game they now have to have, and we'll see how Jason Tatum responds in that game. I love the Heat's position here. It is a house money game. You have already done what you've needed to do. You have stolen one on the road in Boston. Go play loose tonight. Go let it fly tonight. The Celtics have all the pressure on them. If you could come back 3-1, forget it. The season is over for the Celtics. The Heat win the series. They move on to the NBA Finals. It is this is the definition of a house money game for the Heat tonight. Just go out and let it fly. Have fun. Play loose. You're coming back, worst case scenario, 2-2. To Miami. So I love the spot the Heat are in. But Dan, I will have something for Tatum if he continues to play this year, I promise you.
A little something. LDE. You'll hit him with all your LDE. Can you put it on the poll, please? Is this for the Heat tonight? Is this a house money game or a gravy game?
That's a good question. We kind of figured out what's going on with the Heat coverage. Woody's really the one that figured it out. So I'll let him kind of introduce it to you. But we know kind of the situation, and I have solutions to fix it.
So we discussed Jason Tatum there. It's a third consecutive series where a Heat opponent have a superstar that has been nullified by the defense of the Miami Heat. You think of Trae Young, think of Joel Embiid. Now Jason Tatum is getting that treatment from the Heat. And normally, Dan, you lament this all the time in the coverage. If we can't explain something, what do? We turn to the coach. Yep, yep. And not even the coach, Eric Spoelstra, is getting enough credit in this series. And I turned around and said, I think it's because he doesn't have gray hair. He doesn't have something, right? Yeah. He's just a youthful-looking guy who's good at his job. All the coaches tell you that he's great at his job, but there's no hook there. What's the hook on Eric Spoelstra? So we're trying to spitball here. Yeah. What could Eric Spoelstra do as a coach to command that level of attention? I say kind of have that gray hair, have that look about him that he's got that wisdom. He doesn't even look like he has
yell
wisdom.
Yell at a sideline reporter or something.
Yeah. There's not enough controversy around this team, so it's almost forgettable. You know what I mean? You kind of know this team is almost too buttoned up. They're always going to be there. They'll hang around. They'll make it 2-3 rounds into the playoffs. They're good. But are they going to do the whole thing? I don't know. I'm not sure. That's why when like the Timberwolves do things, you're like, whoa, the Timberwolves, let's cover that because they're going to be gone in 5 minutes. But the Heat are like all reliable. They'll be there. No one's going to get really in that much trouble. Steady Eddie. Too buttoned up. We need to kind of loosen the reins a little bit, I think, and let people go a little bit wild and get some real character, personality, stuff like that. Tyler Hero should be getting in a lot more trouble than he's getting
I
don't like it.
He needs to throw more clipboards. That made news.
That's right. That's
45 days ago, they were fighting during a game on the bench.
But that's when we got the coverage. So he should maybe throw a clipboard whenever they're down.
Do something.
You guys are on a huge radio show complaining about how the Heat aren't getting enough coverage.
That's
like,
right.
It's insane to me. You all have this, Boston fans and Miami fans all have this sports persecution complex where they think everyone is out to get them and that everyone has a vendetta against them. Oh, the media doesn't like us. It's like Miami, this radio show in particular in Miami and all of the WEEI shows in Boston, two of the biggest biggest sports radio markets in the entire country, and yet you're still complaining you don't get enough coverage on the national shows. Guess what? Sometimes the national shows just aren't that good because they have to cover every team throughout the year, so they're probably not watching all the Miami Heat games. It happens. It happens when I watch Notre Dame games that are on ABC. I'm like, wow, these guys have not seen a single game because they've been playing on NBC all season, so Kirk Herbstreit's not watching it, and it's fine. You just get over it. If I want my Notre Dame coverage, I'll go to my Notre Dame beat reporters, but you guys are complaining about it. You're on a huge show. We've been covering the Heat all year. I've heard more effing Heat coverage than I ever would like to for the rest of my life.
But the Heat are good. Notre Dame stinks. Like, they should know the Heat.
Oh, my God.
That's kind of true.
Whatever. What do you mean?
I do love that every single sports fan base has this persecution complex, but I also love that as I'm trying to stick Stugatz's face in the shit on the carpet on Tatum, he's like, I'm not skipping past this back, Dan, but he's going to bounce back. He's going to bounce back. He's going to bounce back.
It's only because he's one of his guys. And if this was Durant, he's in Nick Wright's superstar club, guys.
He's,
okay?
He's doing also.
If it was Durant, he would join the Heat. I mean.
He's also doing the move that the analysts do when they get unreasonable. Like, he's just telling you right now what he's going to do, that if Tatum does indeed embarrass him, Stugatz will have something for him at the end of the series.
So lame.
You just skip right past zero baskets. Like, that's not... I don't know how it is that Jason Tatum is allowed to skate on zero baskets. It's not something you see very often when a team is at home, and
especially
needs,
when the game was there to be won.
Game.
It was there to be won for the Boston Celtics. No Jimmy Butler. Yeah. The Heat's offense, when you said earlier that Max Drew shot, the Heat were at 93. I put in a group chat, I think the Heat are going to end this game on 93 points because they were in the mud offensively.
Moving backwards, because this is where you miss Jimmy. Playoff games are harder than the regular season, and late playoff games are crazy. I thought they were going to have trouble scoring the entire second half once Jimmy went out.
Woody, was that the Mike Scherge group chat?
No, it was a different group chat. Oh, wow. Different group chat.
Yeah, what a name drop. You're in a group chat with Mike Schur and you just humbly drop it in.
But that doesn't make you special. Mike Schur is like in 1,000 of those.
He's just peppering. He's shit posting.
He's doing it with Simmons, too.
Really?
Yes, he's on both sides of this.
There's definitely three Sullies in the chat.
He's like a million. He's done a million.
Ooh, Dan, you're in that one? You get in the Simmons one?
No, I'm not in the Simmons one. Simmons hasn't returned my calls. He's mad about something. I don't know what he's mad about.
What did he do? Maybe it's those podcast rankings.
Hey!
Hey-o!
What?
Probably when Kate called him a misogynist on our show.
No, it was before that.
Well, the thing is, there's a before that, and there's a long list of what it could be, that's probably what it is, you know? Mm. Why hasn't Tyler Hero gotten in more trouble?
He did it well in the bubble, right? He got into social media trouble. Didn't he do some of that? Eh. You're longing for the days of Myers-Leonard?
I'm longing for the days of Gerald Green.
I have to be honest, I think the Heat might be good enough that maybe some of this stuff has happened and we just don't know about it.
Oh, boring. Let some slide. Let's get some personality, you know what I mean? Want a little controversy.
I agree. I listen.
Yeah.
So Jess earlier, I thought, put together a very good rant about how the Heat fans are over-persecuted. But I don't think you recall in 2010-11 just the microscopic detail in which the Heat were known about. Like, the Heat were one of those teams where, like, you knew when Eric Dampier was joining the team to fix their interior when Dexter Pittman got Pittman. 3 minutes and 3 fouls.
Woody, then cover the team better. Like, you guys are credentialed
on
media
members.
Not you specifically. You're a soccer guy. But Dan, you're a credentialed media member.
We have done. We talked about it.
But you just got sick of our coverage. You just said that you're sick of all our Heat coverage and that you're in the middle of something. What do you think I'm doing around here every day?
You're right. I tuned it all out.
Are we sure Get Up was covering Dampier like that?
Get Up didn't exist.
But I'm saying my point is like, I think it might just be you're doing the persecution thing again.
It was a different time.
It was a different team. SportsCenter did 15 minutes on the signing of Mike Bibby.
100%.
I mean, it was a different time.
You missed that, though. That's part of the problem. Do you know how we were covered those 4 years? God damn it. That's when they covered us right. But then we thought it was wrong because then it was like, this is too much. Leave us alone. Why are you covering us so much?
Why do you hate us so much?
Why do you hate us so much?
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Don Libertard.
I don't want to be too extreme on this, but he failed America.
Stugatz.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Stugatz, how about some of these numbers here? Tyler Hero, before the last game, when he was terrible. The entire playoffs, when he's on the court, the Miami Heat are -8.4 net. When he's off the court, they're +27.5. So when Tyler Hero is not playing these playoffs, and I would assume that
seems like they should keep him off the court. I mean,
I didn't trust him at all in that game. Tyler Hero is somebody at the end of that game who could have created shots. He was on the bench injured. But the story that we have not gotten to, which we need to, is this Panthers story, because I think Chris Cody is super deflated here. Ugh. And another story, why did Kyle Lowry show up at the arena with an orchid?
Are we sure that wasn't them arriving to the hotel? I assumed he was decorating his hotel and liked a nice flower in there. I believe I'm hearing from the back of the room that they were getting to the hotel there. Still odd that he felt the need to travel like that.
You don't think there's a symbolism and I'm blooming, I'm ready to go again?
No, that would be odd.
No way.
Well, really,
symbolism, he's like, I'm blooming now, I need a flower.
It's why no one covers this team. I mean, Jesus.
Well, you wanted something interesting, and I'm telling you that Kyle Lowry's wandering around with an orchid. How about that, Billy?
I love orchids.
Would Eric Spoelstra get more attention if for some reason he decided to coach the entire game holding an orchid?
If he just undid his top button, Eric Spoelstra, I feel like things would be vastly different.
No. What if he brought back the suit? The suit is, I'm still missing the suit.
We're going in opposite directions.
No. If Eric Spoelstra says, listen to me, Ime Udoka, you wear a suit, or you're going to look ridiculous on television. Udoka, the challenge is out.
Riley has to be thinking that, right?
Oh, yeah. Pat Riley is embarrassed by all these NBA coaches who haven't been able to get it together and put a goddamn suit
on.
Pat Riley would never, if the other 29 teams all wore quarter zips to the bench, you know what Pat Riley would show up in? An Armani suit, because that's who he is. And all these coaches should be ashamed of themselves. Kerr, Jason Kidd, Udoka, Spoelstra, ashamed of yourselves. Spoelstra, be the one who brings it back.
What's the rule? They need a collar? Imagine if
I don't even know. And they're all coordinated, by the way. Like, they clearly must have like a uniform before the game. Is all right, lads. It's black quarter zips and black
khakis
tonight.
We're not saying all right, lads. Yeah,
that's no, you don't think so? Starting.
No.
Whittingham, you're under 30 years old. Your longing for the suit is so very strange.
I want someone to come out in like a Chippendales outfit. You know what I mean? Like wear the collar and the tie because that's the rule, but no shirt, and stick it to the man.
Like chaps too in the back.
Well, I mean, Maybe.
I'm getting too far.
One step at a time, Dan. Yeah,
okay, Chippendales. I didn't know whether Chippendales was chaps. Is it just a shirtless tuxedo bow tie? More,
yeah, like the tie. And like I would do like a collar and a tie around it because then you have the collar rule, if there is a collar rule, which we're not sure of. You have the collar taken care of. You have kind of like cuffs, cufflinks. You have a tie and you're good. And then see what it is that the league says to you.
Billy, before the show, you and I were talking, and I was stunned the other day how you scampered in and were bringing in a bunch of pictures of lead singers from bands in the 90s because you were super invigorated by arts and crafts. And you announced, I'm a problem solver.
No, he said, I'm something of a problem solver.
I'm somewhat of a problem solver.
Yeah. And then you let that sit for a second. And then soon after, in a moment of introspection, you also said, and I'm also somewhat of a problem causer.
Yeah.
And the reason we were having this
conversation
is because I thought this weekend went for you. This weekend went for you about perfectly, Billy, which is you made a giant plan for four of you to go tonight as a bandwagon to the game in Tampa. The Panthers were going to go. You were going to be the bandwagon rowdy, and you were going to take four members of the show.
Five members of the show
up there. And then yesterday they lose 5-1, pelted their empty net, pelted at the end. If the series wasn't over, I knew it was over when they've got a power play and one of the Lightning players doesn't have his stick in the power play, and they still could not score. The best offensive team in the league.
Biden Cup winners.
Yeah, I mean, just, yeah, President's Trophy. So you see all of that happen, and I think that you got the best result, which is you guys no longer want to go. You were ready. You were prepared. Five of you were going to bomb into Tampa, drink, be loud, and then come back either red eye or arrive at 7:30 the next morning. You were going to be wasted for the entire week. How tired you were going to be if you guys went up there, but you were going to do it, and now you don't have to because the season has come to a crashing, thudding, awful halt.
Well, I'd just like to, for the record, I don't know who would keep this record, say, I came in today and said, I think we should still do this, and everyone else was like, no, I don't think that that's going to happen.
Are we sure Roy isn't driving up there right now?
Yeah, Roy. I don't think I texted Roy that we weren't doing this, so Roy may be on his way there as we speak.
Nobody told him? He's on an Android?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean...
Communications reach Androids a day late.
Billy, why don't you go, though, if you want to go? Like, no, make it happen. Go.
For the good of the show, like, as you can see, kind of we're a split squad right now, and really I should be here for the team. You know, as much as I would want to fly up to Tampa right after the show today, then watch a hockey game in which the Panthers may get swept, and then board a flight very early tomorrow, and then get here and get very little sleep and hang out with K-Funk. As much as I might want to do all of that stuff, I really think I need to be here for the crew. You know what I mean? I think we all kind of have to, unfortunately. But it would have been incredible, right, Dan? You were going to come, weren't you?
I don't know how much you had planned. I don't know. You got to give the people what it is that you had going on. I didn't know it was five members. All I know is that you were rip-roaring through the Metal Arc coffers trying to get any dime you could to get a bunch of people up there.
Well, because what happened was we have a sponsor that's a bit aggressive, let's just say. And this sponsor's kind of found a little bit of a workaround where if he just kind of reaches out and throws tickets at us, we start doing things for this sponsor. So this sponsor...
You guys, by the way, are working real cheap there. You're prostitutes, all of you, in doing this.
Yeah. We've had meetings about not doing it, but it continues to happen regardless because, you know, someone comes and says, hey, my dad accidentally bought four tickets to this event. Do you guys want them? Which is kind of probably not
preposterous.
True.
The old accidental ticket purchase.
Yeah.
You guys are working cheap, though. People were paying for heat experiences with us, $25,000 and $50,000, and you guys don't understand how much value this dude is getting by being able to buy you off with tickets.
But it would have been good for this show, just for the absurdity of...
It was good seats, though.
Was it? Should we still go?
Roy's going. Roy.
There is a growing recognition that we're working cheap, but it hasn't quite reached the whole group yet. Yeah. So,
well, here's the thing, Whittingham, because this I love that you guys are doing this, and I've wanted that relationship with sponsors my entire life. I think they're wildly uncreative in sales, and
so we're doing this.
The idea that somebody could just purchase portions of the show, I assure you that a lot of people in our audience would like to do that. I think Whittingham is getting wedding invitations because he says he will go to a wedding. And I believe that you should absolutely sponsor love. I believe that people should be able to buy Chris Whittingham, fancy lad, showing up at your wedding, because I think that's how we should be doing it, that the relationship with the sponsors should be that. This guy's just gotten here faster than anyone else has, and congratulations to him for embedding himself, but you guys are working cheap. This stuff is, you're giving away something that's worth a lot of money.
But has Witty gone to any weddings yet?
No, I've not gone to any weddings
yet. How fun can he be at a wedding, too? I'll say it.
It's a good question.
One of those things that, in theory, sounds nice, but then he's there, and what's he having, like, come on.
Oh, no, but he will be as popular if it's the groom.
What's he doing, a stand-up set?
No, but
I think Whittingham wants to referee the wedding, and I think he would do that for free.
Officiate.
Referee, I think it's called. Referee. No, it's called referee, I think. Yeah, that's right.
Hook of the leg, 1, 2, 3.
I see Whitty walking around and just telling everyone that their bow tie is not done properly. Let me fix that for you, chap.
The wedding. He's going to get up there owls, in stripes. He's going to get up there.
2 minutes. Slashing.
It's not to officiate the wedding. No, people have just been inviting you to the wedding. And what Whitty would do at a wedding is be great by just sitting there and being Whitty. Just whoever it is, what I'm saying is to have a piece of the show come to your house. It's what I've always wanted our show to be. And I want somebody to figure out how to get Whitty to their wedding so that in all the photos, inexplicably, here's Chris Whittingham in the photo with the bridesmaids.
But that's not a sponsor. That's just like a let me be a nice guy thing.
I think there should be a sponsor for love. Why isn't 1-800-FLOWER sponsoring love and a contest that sends Whitty to your wedding?
I mean, you know, maybe... Indochino wants to provide some new suits for me to go to these weddings. You know, just hypothetically, perhaps.
Can I just tell you what's actually happening here, like on behalf of the people inviting us to weddings? Because we've gotten invited to weddings for a while. What's happening is they're hoping maybe on an app chance someone shows up. But what they're really hoping for is, let me get a gift from these people. You know what I mean? They'll say, hey, you know what? Can't make it to Ohio for your wedding. Let me send you the stand mixer or something like that. You know what I mean? Because then you think like, hey, I feel bad. I want to have this moment with the listeners, but I can't go. So let me send them some. I sent someone a wedding gift once.
I have two.
Granted.
Amidst our wedding invitations, I sent someone a gift from their registry.
Yeah. Where'd you go price range wise?
Like $75.
Wow. No, that's wow.
Really?
What'd you get this person?
What do you mean? I thought it was very nice. That like
no, it's too nice. Yeah. What'd you get?
No,
the person?
No. The note that they sent, it was like a handwritten thing that got sent to my house. So
$75 to your house.
No, not to the studio, and then
you can't buy wedding gifts a lot less than $75.
Yeah, you can.
You can split them now.
It is the greatest invention to happen to wedding registries. You can pitch into someone's like one of someone's expensive things. Yeah. So like Billy could pitch in like $50 to the stand mixer, and then five other people pitch in $50, and then you get a whole stand mixer, but it's from a bunch of people who don't want to spend $350.
I think I got someone like that ceramic thing that you put your spoon on when you're cooking. You know what I'm talking
about?
That's
a terrible wedding gift, Billy.
Well, it was like the cheapest thing. I'm not in money
what
bags
was it,
over
$4?
Here. $75. Well, no, it was, with tax and shipping, I was up to like $19. And I was like,
that's a terrible gift. No
I have
one
to explain
even uses
this to my
those.
Wife.
You just get shit all over your counter and
well,
then wipe it off later.
Listen to me. I didn't put it on their wedding registry, okay? If they didn't want it, they shouldn't have put it there. I got them something that they claimed to really want, and I thought that it was nice. And furthermore, I'll just say this, I didn't get a thank you. Okay?
Wow.
Didn't get a thank you.
It was a terrible gift.
It was on their registry. I didn't put it there. I gave
There's
them something
There's better
I thought
cheap
they
items than the thing you put a spoon on while you're cooking.
Well,
like,
it was
that
late.
Is just outrageous.
Late in the game. Yeah, that's a great thing. Without it, there's a mess.
Stupid. Chip into the honeymoon fund.
If I chip in $19 to the honeymoon fund, then it looks horrible. You know what I mean?
Oh, then they get a drink on the plane.
Personal foul, unnecessary gift on Billy, 15 yards.
What did you get
first down?
What did you get for
$75?
That's
what I'm talking about.
What did you buy them?
I don't remember. I'll have to go back and look.
Dan, were you involved in your wedding registry like creation?
Did you walk around Bed Bath & Beyond?
Yeah, it's scanning the thing. It's super fun.
I made a terrible mistake, and I did not do the wedding right in giving people the right or the ability to donate to three different charities. I don't even know where who sent me what, because so much got lost.
I got you a frame.
I didn't send you anything.
Yeah.
Wait, did you say three charities? Because I saw a fourth charity for the John Wiener Fund, and I just figured, wait, was that not real?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.